Good morning. The scripture reading today is taken from the book of Revelations, chapter 19, verse 11 through 16. Reading from chapter 19, verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the word of God, of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Dear church, let's stand for the gospel reading. The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46. They say together, glory to Christ our Savior. Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46. வாசிக்கப்பட சுவிசேஷம் வேதப்பாடம் மத்திய சுவிசேஷம் 25 அதிகாரம் வசனங்கள் 31 தொடங்கி 46 முடிய. அன்றியும் மனுஷகுமாரன் தமது மகிமை பொழுந்தவராய் சகல பரிசுத்த தூதரோடும் கூட வரும்போது தமது மகிமை உள்ள சிங்காசத்தின் மேல் வீற்றிருப்பார். அப்பொழுது சகல ஜனங்களும் அவருக்கு முன்பாக சேர்க்கப்படுவார்கள். மேய்ப்பனானவன் செம்மறி ஆடுகளையும் வெள்ளாடுகளையும் வெவ்வேறாக பிரிக்கிறது போல அவர்களை அவர் பிரித்து செம்மறி ஆடுகளை தமது வலது பக்கத்திலும் வெள்ளாடுகளை தமது இடது பக்கத்திலும் நிறுத்துவார். அப்பொழுது ராஜா தமது வலது பக்கத்தில் நிற்பவர்களை பார்த்து, வாருங்கள், என் பிதாவினால் ஆசீர்வதிக்கப்பட்டவர்களே, உலகம் உண்டானது முதல் உங்களுக்காக ஆயத்தம் பண்ணப்பட்டிருக்கிற ராஜ்யத்தை சோதித்துக் கொள்ளுங்கள். பசியாயிருந்தேன், எனக்கு போஜனம் கொடுத்தீர்கள். தாகமாயிருந்தேன், என் தாகத்தை தீர்த்தீர்கள். அந்நியனாயிருந்தேன், என்னை சேர்த்து கொண்டீர்கள். வஸ்திரமில்லாதவனாயிருந்தேன், எனக்கு வஸ்திரம் கொடுத்தீர்கள். வியாதியாயிருந்தேன், என்னை விசாரிக்க வந்தீர்கள். காவலிலிருந்தேன், என்னை பார்க்க வந்தீர்கள் என்பார். அப்பொழுது நீதிமான்கள் அவருக்கு பிரதித்திரமாக, ஆண்டவரே, நாங்கள் எப்பொழுது உம்மை பசி உள்ளவராக கண்டு உமக்கு போஜனம் கொடுத்தோம்? எப்பொழுது உம்மை தாகம் உள்ளவராக கண்டு உம்முடைய தாகத்தை தீர்த்தோம்? எப்பொழுது உம்மை அந்நியராக கண்டு உம்மை சேர்த்து கொண்டோம்? எப்பொழுது உம்மை வஸ்திரம் இல்லாதவராக கண்டு உமக்கு வஸ்திரம் கொடுத்தோம்? எப்பொழுது உம்மை வியாதி உள்ளவராகவும் காவல் இருக்கிறவராகவும் கண்டு மிடத்தில் வந்தோம் என்பார்கள். அதற்கு ராஜா பிரயோகத்திரமாக, மிகவும் சிறியவராகிய என் சகோதரனான இவர்களில் ஒருவனுக்கு நீங்கள் எதை செய்தீர்களோ அதை எனக்கே செய்தீர்கள் என்று மெய்யாகவே உங்களுக்கு சொல்கிறேன் என்பார். அப்பொழுது இடது பக்கத்தில் நிற்பவர்களை பார்த்து, அவர் சபிக்கப்பட்டவர்களே, என்னை விட்டு பிசாசுக்காகவும் அவன் தூதர்களுக்காகவும் ஆயத்த பண்ணப்பட்டிருக்கிற நித்திய ஆக்னியிலே போங்கள். பசியாயிருந்தேன், நீங்கள் எனக்கு போஜனம் கொடுக்கவில்லை. தாகமாயிருந்தேன், நீங்கள் என் தாகத்தை தீர்க்கவில்லை. அந்நியனாயிருந்தேன், நீங்கள் என்னை சேர்த்து கொள்ளவில்லை. வஸ்திரமில்லாதவனாயிருந்தேன், நீங்கள் எனக்கு வஸ்திரம் கொடுக்கவில்லை. வியாதியுள்ளவனாயும் காவலில் அடைக்கப்பட்டவனாயும் இருந்தேன், நீங்கள் என்னை விசாரிக்க வரவில்லை என்பார். அப்பொழுது அவர்களும் அவருக்கு பிரதித்திரமாக, ஆண்டவரே, உம்மை பசி உள்ளவராகவும் தாகம் உள்ளவராகவும் அந்நியராகவும் வஸ்திரமில்லாதவராகவும் வியாதிப்பட்டவராகவும் காவலிருக்கப்பட்டவராகவும் நாங்கள் எப்பொழுது கண்டு உமக்கு உதவி செய்யாதிருந்தோம் என்பார்கள். அப்பொழுது அவர் அவளுக்கு பிரயுத்திரமாக, மிகவும் சிறியவர்களாகிய இவர்களில் ஒருவனுக்கு நீங்கள் எதை செய்யாதிருந்தீர்களோ அதை எனக்கே செய்யாதிருந்தீர்கள் என்று மெய்யாகவே உங்களுக்கு சொல்லுகிறேன் என்பார். அந்தபடி இவர்கள் நித்திய ஆக்கினை அடையவும் நீதிமான்களோ நித்திய ஜீவனை அடையவும் போவார்கள் என்றார். This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord.
Church, please be seated. We pray to God, we ask Him to speak to us from His holy word. Father, we thank You for this morning, this wonderful first day of the week, that You raised Your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead 2,000 years ago, and the world is not the same since. Thank You, Father. Thank You, God, that we gather in Your name, and that Your Holy Spirit is here in our midst. We pray, Lord God, that He who inspired the written word will speak to us, cause us, Lord God, to hear, to understand, and then, Lord God, to align our wills to do Your will. For we ask all this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. What a great joy it is to be here to do the confirmation, to worship God with you, to confirm. There's so many people who have been confirmed today, and of course to bring you the Word of God. When I was communicating with the church staff, Kim Yen in particular, on the service, I told her, sorry, no PowerPoint. Because faith comes by hearing, not seeing, and hearing the Word of God. So I'm trying to do an experiment today, just by hearing. Like, now the sermon title is, What Will the King Say to You? It's not just a question. It's not just a title of a sermon, but it's also a question that I'm asking you this morning. And actually it's a question that I ask myself. What will the King say to me? In fact, I think this is one of the most important thing, most important issue to think about. What will the King say to me? Now, when we use the word King, many of us in Singapore, we have some problem, because we are Republicans. Now, not Donald Trump type of Republican, but because we live in the Republic of Singapore, right? So technically, we are Republicans. We have no idea of King. In fact, if we look at the way societies were organized over the years, the whole idea of kingship lasted for with human society for a long time, right? Whether you call them Raja, Maharaja, Sultan, King, Caesar, or whatever, the whole idea of one man who wields authority over so many people is part of life, until not so long ago, right? Anyway, we today live in a system where we have no kings. In fact, the only people who understand a little bit about king, who knows a lot about king in Southeast Asia are the Thais. When you get to Thailand, please, for goodness sake, don't make jokes about the king. You'll get into trouble, right? King. Jesus is King. And the kingdom of God are core teachings of the Bible. Now, if that has not got into you, okay, maybe you're new in faith. But if you've been Christian for a long time and it's not yet in you, okay, you need to do some adjustment to your understanding. Right. Anyway, most of us would unconsciously say something about kingdom of God, right? Because if you pray the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, right? But most people, when they pray, Lord, your kingdom come, they actually don't mean what they say. In fact, most people don't mean what they say when they pray. They just come words. Yeah. right? I've got 3 points to anchor the question, what will the king say to you? Okay. The first point is this, and of course you know I'm talking about Jesus as king. How do we know that Jesus is king? How do we know? Right. Now, by the way in which we grow in our faith, by which we anchor our faith, right, should be from Holy Scripture. If something cannot be proven from Holy Scripture, we shouldn't waste our time believing in, right? Now, I know there are many things in church life, there are many things in Christianity that essentially you can't find them in Scripture, right? So don't spend too much time arguing about them. The things that we need to hold firmly to are those which are anchored in Holy Scripture. So this morning, I want to begin by helping you to see that Jesus indeed is King. Now, turn the Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses and then unpack for you. Matthew chapter 2, beginning from verse 1. It says here, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king." Now, by the way, this Herod the king is a famous guy recorded in history as Herod the Great. Herod the Great. There are only two persons who are referred to as the Great, right? You know Alexander the Great, right? His name is found in Singapore as well, right? He called Alexander Road and so on and so forth. Alexander the Great, right? And Herod the Great. Herod the Great is great because he was a great builder. If you visit Israel today, you'll find many of the things that Herod built. Okay? So, when the scripture here talks about King Herod, it is this Herod. "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when he rose, and we have come to worship him.'" Now the people who identified Jesus as king, they were not Jewish people. The Bible here is very clear. They were wise men from the east. Now there's been a lot of talk, study on who these people is. Some people say, well, they are from Persia. Right? Many people say they're from Persia. I think that interpretation is wrong. Why? Because you don't take 2 years to travel from Persia to Israel, right? Even with the slow pace of life in those days, you don't take 2 years. If you take 2 months, it's too long. I believe they came further afar. Where it is, nobody knows. Maybe as far as India or China, who knows? Far, far away. It took 2 years to travel, right? But they were not Jewish people. They were divinely told, hey, a king has been born. And strangely, they were pulled to Israel to look for that king and then to worship him. Right? To worship him. I don't spend too much time going through that, going through the details of you, but you look at that. Jesus, when he was born, he was identified as king. Right? Now, go a little bit backwards, or go a little bit further, and turn with me to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And I'm going to read from verse 33. John chapter 18 and verse 33. It says here, "So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called to Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered, 'Do you say this on your own accord, or the others said it to you about me?' Go further down to verse 17. Now, John 19, verse 17. "And he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucify him, with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Is the implicit there will be get lost. It's done. When Jesus died, in a title, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The long and short of biblical teaching with regard to Jesus is that he was no ordinary man. Yes, he was a human being, but he was a human being with a huge destiny. King. Not just King of the Jews, but King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Also, King of the whole world. You read it just now. It was read for us in the Gospel reading, right? Now, I hope by now you will say, you agree with me, and you will say, yeah, it's something which I need to imbibe, that Jesus is King. The scripture makes it very clear. Point two, and it's a vital question for all of us today. Point two, is Jesus your King? Now don't come and tell me, Pastor, this is church, you know. I'm a Christian. I've been baptized. I'm going to be confirmed. That question, not relevant. I'm telling you, that's the most relevant question. Is Jesus your King? Now, when it comes to this question, there are three ways to answer it. Actually, technically, well, strictly speaking, two, but three ways to answer it. Some people say, yes, Jesus is my King. Put out your hand. Yes, Jesus is my King, right? Right. Yeah, he's already put out, Jesus is my King. Praise be to God, right? Other people will say, he's not my King. Right? Many people will say, I don't know. Praise be, I don't know. Now, if you don't know, he is not your king. Listen to this. If you don't know, he's not your King. Ask me a question. Bishop Kwan, are you married? By the way, my wife is sitting there. I better answer, yes, I'm married. Because she's sitting there, right? No. Even if she's not sitting there, of course, I'm married. I cannot say no, right? If I say I don't know, something is wrong, right? Probably she'll come and pull my ears. Right? But to the question, is Jesus your King? If your answer is not an affirmative yes, you got a problem. Or you need to do something about it. Why? Because the gospel, as recorded in scripture, is the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 24:14, Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. By the way, that's one of my favorite verses of Holy Scripture, right? And this gospel of the kingdom, sometimes, too often actually, I think, in many churches, we don't talk, we don't speak enough, we don't teach enough about the kingship of Jesus Christ, we don't speak enough about the kingdom of God. And if we are not in the kingdom of God, being in church is simply a waste of time. Sometimes you talk to me, hey, Shukwan, you talk too straightforward. I say, yeah, straightforward. Because time is very short. Right? Better go straight to the point so that things are clear. Right? If you are not in the kingdom of God, being in church is a waste of time. Why? Because if you are not in the kingdom of God, it's a big issue. How can you pray, Lord, your kingdom come? Right? If you are not in the kingdom of God. Right? It's just hypocrisy. Let me tell you what salvation is. Let me explain to you what salvation is like. All human beings, the moment we are born into the kingdom of darkness, of sin. The kingdom that is ruled by the devil. All. Every human being. Jesus came to do one thing. To set us free from the kingdom of darkness that we may enter into his kingdom. How do we enter into his kingdom? By following him. By receiving him into our lives. By turning away from our sins. Right? Is Jesus your king? I hope for many of you, answer is yes. If it's not, okay, do something about it today. By the way, we also live in an age where the preaching of the gospel is so twisted that we don't highlight the real stuff. We tell people some sugar-coated ideas. Oh, God loves you. It's true that God loves us, by the way. Right? And therefore, he wants you to enter into his kingdom. He wants you to be with him forever. That's true. Right? Just believe in him. That's not true. Because if we reduce belief in him into intellectual assent, is rubbish. To believe in Jesus is to trust in Jesus 100% of our lives. We live in a dangerous era because of the proliferation of false teaching. And one of the false teaching that comes out from Singapore, and I'm grieved by it, that comes out of Singapore, is flooding all over the world, is a teaching by a man called Joseph Prince. I don't even call you a pastor. He's not a pastor because a pastor is concerned for the salvation of people whom he ministers to. If a person is only interested in getting the crowd, he's an entertainer. Now, if you're reading Joseph Prince's book, I suggest you throw them away. I suggest you go and look up teachings. In fact, I'm very happy that there is a clear refutation of Joseph Prince's teaching by a guy called, a Pentecostal pastor, the Reverend George Ong. I suggest go through the website and be careful, right? Okay, so point one, how do we know Jesus is king? Point two, is Jesus your king? Point three, right? I'm coming towards the end of my sermon. Actually, I'm about 50% true or 60% true. The third point, right? Will we one day hear these all important words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Point three, right? And that is, we need to hear these all important words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the gospel reading, Matthew 25 and verse 34. He says that when Jesus comes back, the whole world will stand before him. And he will separate the world, right and left, sheep and goat, right? And to those who are on the right, Jesus will say these words. Jesus will say these words. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Now, Jesus did not say to those people who were on the right, blessed, come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world because you believe in me. He was very clear, right? For I was hungry, you give me food. I was thirsty, you give me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcome me. So these guys answered Jesus, how do we, you know, we didn't do all this. Right? In verse 37, then the righteous will answer him, say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? And when were you thirsty, then we give you drink and so on and so forth. Right? And we have verse 40. Very important verse. So important that it is printed for you right there. So you ask me, is there a PowerPoint for you? Your PowerPoint is right there. As you come into your church, into the sanctuary, when you're walking down, on your left, right? That's first one. And he says, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Is there? These are sobering words. Now, listen carefully. I am not teaching you that salvation comes by doing things. I'm telling you that Jesus says that if you truly follow him, you'll be concerned about the hungry, the poor, the disadvantaged. Tell a story, true story. 6 months ago, somebody sent me a message. Hey, Bishop. What's up, Hey, Bishop. I want to send you $10,000. I know you have ministry in many parts of Africa. Can you help to feed the hungry? Quickly, I replied, almost instantly, I replied, Brother, please don't send me the money. I don't want to do your work for you. By the way, don't give me money. And ask me to do things, okay? I don't do people's work. I say, if you're interested, I put you in touch with people who are feeding hungry people, sick children, if you're interested. So I put you in touch. Then I ask him this question, because I know this person a little bit, not so well, but well enough to ask me this sort of direct question. I said, why are you talking? I said, why are you talking about this? I said, why do you write to me about this? Why? He said, because I just read Matthew 25 and I was feeling a little bit concerned about my lack of concern for anybody else. Scripture says, continue. Now this, by the way, this is the teaching of Jesus Christ. He said that after that, the king will say to those on the left who are classified as goats, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. Now listen, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me naked. You did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Now friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, On that day, hearing this important, all important words of Jesus is everything, right? Now remember, on that day, what will the king say to you? He will not ask you, are you Anglican? I like to joke to people, hey, you know why Anglican good? Because Anglican is A, you know. We are top of the list, right? If you are Presbyterian, a little bit far down. Baptist, okay, not so far down. Anglican first, right? A what? My brothers and sisters, on that day, Jesus basically will ask the question, did you follow me? Right? Were you my disciples? do you live out your life as people of the kingdom of God with me as your God and King? I'm going to close the sermon now, soon. And I close with a question. Are you ready to meet the King? What will the King say to me? Am I ready to meet the King? You know, being in church is, by the way, I think being in a church setting is one of the best thing that can happen to any human being. Okay, so I tell you this. I am very bad at singing. I was so bad at singing that when I was preparing for, when I was studying in Trinity Theological College, I was part of the choir. The choir minister says, you sit in here, you just open your mouth and close. You know, but I'm like, all students must be in the choir, what? So you cannot tell, right? Must be there. So that's my singing record, music, right? I know there's such thing called canned music, today referred to as MP3 or MP4 music, right? In those days, you got cassette and tapes. The guy can hear it at home. But nothing beats singing together with hundreds of other people. Better still, thousands of people, because we hear the vibrant singing, praising God. Right? So church is a good thing. Now, you are here in church today. Many of you here, I'm quite sure you already are in the kingdom of God. You know that, you know Jesus is King of all your lives. But perhaps there's some of you who are over here today, you come because your friends say, come not come to church, come and listen to some funny preacher, or come to church, it's good to come to church, or whatever reason you come, right? No one, I like the slogan in St. Andrew's Junior College, the slogan in St. Andrew's Junior College, which goes like this, no one is here by accident. It's a good slogan. No one is here today by accident. You are here, and if you're not in the kingdom of God, God wants you to be in His kingdom. Reason is very simple. Because God created you, and God wants to see you in eternity. For the vast majority of us, we have entered the kingdom of God. Live out as children of the kingdom. I suggest that we pray. I'm going to pause for prayer. Two things to pray. Two things. Number one, if you are not yet in the kingdom of God, talk to God and say, God, I want to be in your kingdom. Receive me. I turn away from my sins. I choose to follow after you. Christianity is as simple as that. You make a decision to follow God, and then you do it for the rest of your life, right? I made a decision to follow Jesus Christ when I was 17 years old. So it has been the best decision I've ever made. Number two, when we pray for someone. So those of us who are already in the kingdom, pray for someone by name who you know is outside the kingdom of God. This is a great privilege of being in church with God's community. So I'm going to pause for a while. We pray. I will say a closing prayer and a time to your vicar, and then we will continue with the confirmation service. Let's pause. Father, we thank you for your word, because your word is the word of everlasting life. Father, I now pray for every person in this sanctuary who is not sure that they are in your kingdom. I pray, Lord God, that as they make that commitment, as they ask you to be their king, thank you, God, that you are a God. You are a God who answers prayers. Thank you, God. And also we pray, Lord God, now for those whom we know and whom we love who are not yet in your kingdom. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that they too may enter into your everlasting kingdom. And on that vital day, they will hear from you these wonderful words. You who are blessed by my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us. And it is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.